So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thursday afternoon, as we get a little closer to the weekend, I don't know if Sue will be interested in tonight's college playoff football game. Are you?
Why? Who is it?
Well, I mean, it's...
That's how much I know about it.
Well, so tomorrow night you have... We had Alex in yesterday, and tomorrow night is Indiana and Ole Miss. So tonight would be Oregon. Am I getting these right, Fred?
No.
The mic's not on. Am I getting that right?
Ole Miss and Miami?
Ole Miss and Miami. That's
okay.
Correct.
All right.
And Oregon and Indiana.
Yes,
tomorrow.
That's it. Thank you for doing
it. Well, I go Indiana and Miami.
Okay.
Those are my answers.
I'd kind of like to see Ole Miss get there only because of the whole Lane Kiffin deal, and just to do it without him I think would be a success. Plus, it's an SEC team, and we're not faring so well in this whole thing anyway. But it is weird to have, you know, I think this is because of the NFL. I would prefer not to have a semifinal for a college football playoff on a Thursday night and then another one on a Friday night. But yeah, they have NFL competition, you know, because the playoffs start this weekend.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right. So they pretty much had to do that. By the way, on a sports front, Fred, I didn't ask you about this yet. Were you watching when Mizzou played Kentucky last night?
No, I watched the whole Billikens game. So I didn't
And that was
that.
A great game,
too. That was a great game.
So
yeah.
Let's start with
the Billikens
that.
Play?
VCU on the road, and that was big, right?
Yeah, that was the first time they'd ever won in that arena away from home.
Oh, that's
at VCU.
Huge.
Same thing with Mizzou. They had never, ever won at Rupp Arena. Now, some of that is skewed because they weren't always facing Kentucky because Kentucky wasn't always in the conference, right?
Well, that's fair,
but still, we've been in the SEC for what now, 10, 12 years, and
that's
they had never
exciting.
Won at Rupp Arena. So, yeah, and here's the deal. You know, I went to that Illinois game a few weeks ago, and I paid for tickets, like $500, to watch Mizzou suck beyond sucking.
Wow. Oh, boy.
But they're a different team. They had three kids injured, and this Stone kid, who's now, his wrist was broken or something like that, he comes, well, he's a starter now, I don't think he came off the bench. It was amazing. So there was a point about 6 minutes left where Kentucky takes an 8-point lead, and it's like, okay, here we go. We clawed back, we made good decisions, they looked great. They're 2-0 in the SEC. That's also never happened under any coach when we've been in the SEC. So we've never started 2-0. No.
Is there a dress code difference in the two leagues for basketball, kind of?
Why do you say that?
When it comes to the head coaches, like the SLU Billiken coach is always like in a sweatshirt.
Right, right.
The VCU coach was in a sweatshirt. And you get to like SEC coaches, aren't they like always like
not always
in a suit
or something like that?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Like Nate Oates at Alabama, he's a little bit more like sporty. I don't think so. Some of them are, but it used to be that way all the time.
Are you saying that's personal choice? Then
I do think so.
Yeah,
I don't think they have a. But you know, some leagues may have a dress code for coaches. That wouldn't surprise me. But back in the day, they all wore suits and ties. You know, Coach Stewart,
right.
Billy Tubbs.
It
you
looks
name
nice.
It.
The suit
it does.
Tie.
It does
just
look
saying.
Nice, but it's kind of like, would you put a baseball manager in a dugout in a
you
suit
wouldn't.
And tie? Right.
So I get it.
But you could still
I think
look.
Connie Mack must have been the last one manager that dressed in a suit all the
really?
Time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What years? I mean, how 30s. Long ago was, okay.
Yeah, that's
he was a
50-year
manager, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
All
30s,
right.
In the 30s.
We'll have Sue's News coming up here in a couple of minutes. We have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. We're going to kick off the roundtable with a pretty significant announcement from the Attorney General of Missouri. I don't think I'm getting indicted. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. Every time Catherine shows up, you know, she came to our birthday party a couple months ago. I'm like, that wasn't on the schedule. I thought, am I being indicted for something?
I know.
It wouldn't
I kind
be out
of thought
question,
that,
right?
too, when she got out of the car.
You thought I was going to be
there
taken
goes
down.
Mark. Yeah.
Right. The cuffs put on, dragged out of Lit Cigar Lounge. No, but It's not the best announcement tomorrow, in my opinion. No. It's not the worst, but we'll explain it all tomorrow. But I'm just trying to hype it up as much as possible so everyone will tune in and listen at 3
o'clock. That's fair.
But it is significant, I will say that. So here's a story, and we'll talk about this on the roundtable. Fred, let's make sure this is on the list for tomorrow. Mixed feelings about this, I'll be honest with you, but I'd love to hear Jane's opinion because she represents the cops. This was a story in STL Today earlier this morning. City officials are scrambling after another surprise from the bill that returned the city cops to state control, and one that could cost taxpayers tens of millions of dollars. So when they pass that law, this is one of these, I can support what they're doing, but I can also disassociate myself from the process, because what I hate is when they pass something like state control, but then they tuck all these other things into it, right?
Oh, that's annoying.
So what they did here is they included a provision reinstating what they describe in the local paper as a decades-old and costly benefit for upcoming department retirees, lifetime health insurance. So Paul Payne, who's the budget director for the city, says it's expensive. The city has been trying to phase it out under local control. He says it's a major deal. So, I mean, look, on the one hand, here's how you have to look at it. These cops are not paid very well, especially in the city. They're underpaid compared to the county and other departments, which is one of the challenges. They put their lives on the line on a daily basis. We're seeing examples of that this week. So one of the reasons they get a pension is because they're not making so much money.
Right.
They're public servants. I think that that's fair. But in this particular situation, that is a huge, huge fiscal hit for the city of St. Louis to provide
huge
lifetime insurance for cops. If I'm a cop and I'm putting my ass out there, I want that.
Uh-huh.
All right? So I'm not going to criticize the cops for saying that's a benefit that we should
get. It's also expensive.
But it's very expensive. So I don't know how they're going to figure that out and kind of work, you know, the budget aspects of that. Joe Steiger, who is with the St. Louis Police Officers Association, and that's who Jane kind of works with, says we're one of the lowest paid police departments in the region and our officers do a dangerous job. You've got to have some way to recruit people, right? How can you argue against that? Right. So if you're going to offer a job to a cop and say, well, we can't pay you $10,000 more because we don't have the budget for that, you can do that in the county, but we can give you lifetime health insurance. Well, that quite honestly is probably a better deal.
Well, it is. So why don't they just pay them more?
You know what, Sue? That's a great question. This is the same question I had about the chief. Because, you know, you get into the situation. Somebody said this today. Fred, I think I sent this to you, right? This was in the Missouri Scout, which is a political newsletter. And let me just read this because I think there's a lot of validity to this. I got a lot of screen captures here, so just give me a second. Fred, did I text that to you?
Yes, you did.
Okay, let me look at your text messages because that might be an easy way. I'm fumbling a lot today. You guys notice that?
Yeah.
I'm like fumbling around.
It's probably, I don't know. Sometimes it happens.
Yeah, it does happen. Can you find it, Fred, what I said about that?
Yeah, Fred, can you find
in
it?
In your text?
No one sent it to me,
here
so
it is.
I'm
here
out.
It is. Yep. Okay. I don't know who said this, but it was in the Missouri Scout. So maybe it was Dave who does the Missouri Scout. But they said, how can the governor and his police board let the chief take a second job? I don't care if it's an easy make work job. The city deserves a police chief with one job, fighting crime. And the governor and his police board should figure out how to pay the chief enough that he can focus on his one true job. How can you disagree with that?
You can't.
So this is where, you know, and again, I said this, we talked about it, we'll talk about it on the roundtable. I think paying someone like Chief Fitch or Chief Tracy or someone like that when they're in retirement as a consultant for a university in a criminology department, I think that's extremely valuable. I'm not criticizing that. Now, I don't know if it's worth $100,000, depending on what he's going to do, but they're saying that the money's not going to come from taxpayers. It will come from gifts and donations. Fair enough, right? My whole issue is being police chief of the city of St. Louis is a full-time job. It's a 24/7 job.
Yes.
Right? And it's not something where you should be distracted because you're not making as much money. So Kara Spencer, the governor, the Board of Aldermen should find a way. I can easily. You invite me over tomorrow to City Hall, I can scratch out a few people that are unnecessary in a variety of departments to come up with the money to pay Chief Tracy for the next 3 years. I promise you that. I think anyone could.
Yeah, probably.
With half a brain. Of course. But they don't want to do that because the Board of Aldermen hates cops, too. So
well,
that's
that doesn't
aspect.
Help anything.
No.
Yeah.
It doesn't help anything at all, unfortunately. All right. Coming up here in just a little bit, Jen Say, we'll talk about some things that I meant to talk about before the start of the year with her, but we have some Supreme Court cases that are related to gender that are going to start here very, very quickly next week. And then this Planet Fitness thing, it's unbelievable. They are sticking by the policy that it is not reasonable to ban men from changing rooms that ladies are in because women's discomfort is not a good enough reason. And then we have Greg Damon after 5 o'clock. So this was a story that we saw. I have an interest in this because I've been kind of complaining about it for years. But you know the safety inspections that you're required to get your vehicles? They're trying to get rid of those all together. Now, my deal would be get rid of the emissions checks because those are utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to do an emissions check on a car that's 15 years plus old, sure. But anything
under 15, I'm kind of with you.
Ridiculous. It's a waste of time.
But you do see some cars on the road and you think, wait, what? Should that be out here? But we also see people driving with no license plates at all.
Okay, but here's what I would say about that.
Yes.
Okay. Do you think, and this is going to the issue of the license plates, the people who don't have the license plates, they're not getting the inspection anyway.
Exactly.
Because they don't want to pay for it and they don't have the money for the taxes.
Exactly. So that's so the rest of us are driving cars, I think, generally.
That are safe. But we're forced to go make an appointment.
Yes.
And the dealers or the shops, they hate this crap too.
Yeah.
They make like $10 and it's a pain in the butt.
There are some totally sketch places that show up, and I know them in the city, but I'm sure they're elsewhere, that just do emissions. And I think that's how they survive, but maybe they're it looks like a front for other things, is what I'm saying. But these emissions keep them alive.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, when I came back to Missouri, and I don't remember this when I lived here. And I lived in Missouri from 1979 until 1997. I came back 20 years ago this month, Fred, is when I got fired. My ass got canned at WTMJ. You know, I'm on my 20th anniversary here. What was I going to say, though?
I have no idea what I was talking about. Is that paper? Which one is that? The 20th anniversary?
I don't know what that is. But what was I talking about right before that?
Emissions and popping up.
Yeah, I have no idea. I lost it. I did. My brain went completely.
Because we're going to talk about that coming up.
With Greg Damon.
Right,
That's Greg Damon.
And state of Missouri may be changing that in this upcoming legislation.
Right. Okay. But I was going to make a bigger point that was really going to be good, and that's where I had the brain fart, so it'll come.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I'm back. It's been a year since the fires out in California. We covered those extensively with our friend Brian Ping, who is a St. Louis native, and he is an anchor and reporter for KNX Radio in Los Angeles. He's going to join us in the next hour, kind of give us an update 1 year later on how the rebuilding process is. And it's, you know, you had the Palisades fire was, I don't know if it was worse than the other one in Altadena, but the Altadena folks feel like they're being forgotten in all of this. That, you know,
you don't hear about it as much.
No. Well, so we'll ask Brian about that here in the next hour.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
You guys, you know that giant dog bed I bought?
Yeah.
That can fit two.
How'd it work?
It is a fail.
Oh,
can I
no.
have the buzzer,
really?
Please? There's nothing wrong with the bed itself. Thank you.
The dogs.
But the dogs,
right.
I mean, they like it, but Lulu feels the need to mark it because there's room for two.
Oh, that's
so she's
good.
Trying to say it's mine.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I can handle this for a day. I've washed that thing probably five times, the cover.
I think it's time to call
and
it.
And I have called it.
Right, yeah.
Oscar doesn't. She does.
That's weird.
Isn't
that
weird?
That's not typical behavior,
no.
right? So what happened, just out of curiosity, not that we want to get into it, but two nights ago, last night, there was a message that came in about a disaster involving dogs at the house. Was that okay?
No, it wasn't. No,
okay.
It was not. Thank you, Frank.
Was that a little stomach virus thing?
I don't know.
Is it
but
solved?
We're now, I believe
okay,
so, but
okay.
we're crating until we're for sure.
Wise.
Yes.
Hey, I've been there with the puppy this summer, believe me.
You never know what they've snarfed down.
Right.
But yeah, so if there were one dog, I think I'd be okay. But two, They don't mind sharing, but she was like,
she never, pees in the house, right?
Not really.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, it's totally weird. Okay. On this day in history, 191 years ago in 1835. Now, the reason I bring this up is because the U.S. national debt was completely paid off. And the last time that happened was in 1835 under Andrew Jackson, giving us a zero balance for the first and only time in history.
You know,
right?
If I could wave a magic wand and do just one thing in this country, it would be to give everyone off the day after the Super Bowl. No, it would be to have a constitutional amendment for a balanced budget.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's ridiculous. We have to do that in Missouri. We have to balance the budget.
Yes.
So many of these problems could be solved if they were forced to balance the budget in Washington, but it'll never happen.
It won't. Nobody will get elected, they think. And then on this day in history, just because I love them, 64 years ago today, it's 1962, and 21-year-old Jack Nicklaus played in his first professional golf tournament. It was the LA Open. He came in 50th place and won $33.33.
And that's pretty big money probably back then, right?
Not bad for 50th place. Come on, 1962. All right, we have talked about this a little amongst ourselves, but the U.S. Figure Skating Championships are going on at Enterprise Center. Now, this is a huge deal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's the championship, and then they name the Olympic team. Exactly, Fred. They started yesterday. It continues through Sunday. Sunday, I believe, is when they'll announce the skaters/teams who will be headed to the Olympics in Milan. So if you were to go to this thing, you could actually see up close a potential Olympic skater. That's so cool.
A lot of them, yeah.
And Mark asked about tickets. I looked it up, and there's still some for Saturday if you want to go, even Friday. But there's a 2:25 Saturday and a 6 p.m., and it's U.S. Figure Skating Championships, Enterprise Center. Tickets ranged from like $50 to insanity.
Yeah. You know, my former shrink, she lives in Connecticut now, but she was right here in St. Louis. Her name was Dr. Stacy Smith. She's helped me immensely over the years. She was, and I don't even know if I've ever talked to her about this, but I Googled it. In the 1980s, in 1980, she was an Olympic ice dancer.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think close to meddling or anything like that, but still.
That's impressive.
Really impressive.
Wow. I like that you call her Dr. Dr. Stacy.
Dr. Smith, yeah.
Tickets still available. Some of this, by the way, is airing on Peacock, of course, since everything's NBC. So if you want to try that, you can probably see some of it.
That's awesome, because if you go to Peacock, if you haven't seen it live, I bet you can pull it up and press the button.
I hope so.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope so.
Peacock does a really, really good job. They did this during the Summer Olympics. I expect they'll do it during the Winter Olympics, of collating all the sports. I mean, there is so much content up there. It's great.
Oh, my gosh. Now, Matt Damon, this is kind of a random story, but Matt Damon slimmed down to his high school weight for filming The Odyssey.
I heard about that, yeah.
167 pounds. Dang.
Yeah, he says he's usually between like 185 and 200. Does it say how tall he is?
Oh, it didn't. I should look that up. He did a lot of weight training. He did, Fred, a strict gluten-free diet. That's how we do it.
That worked.
I was telling my neighbor how we slimmed Fred down for the helicopter thing. And then he found out it really wasn't a big deal and continued to eat carbs when he got back.
Hey,
it was a scam.
I was down to 155 over the summer when I was at the height of the mental illness situation. 155. I don't think I've been at 155 since I was in sixth grade because I was a fat kid.
Oh, gosh.
Right? I'm back up to 170.
Matt Damon. Good, because you look better now.
Yes. Oh, I know. I was like gaunt.
Matt, yeah, you were gaunt. Matt Damon is only 5'10".
And that's what I am, 5'10". So 167, I kind of like that weight, but
yeah,
it's a little skinny
fair.
For him.
It is skinny for him. And the other thing is, they put Matt Damon, they did some Odyssey. He brought some Odyssey vibes to the new promo for the Winter Olympics. Have you seen that yet?
I have not.
He's in there and doing the whole thing. I don't even think that movie comes out until the summer.
Are you saying Odyssey?
Odyssey.
Like, is he starring in the movie about our company?
Uh-huh. No. No. If I spell this one, then people get confused when we say Odyssey. All right. You might have seen yesterday that Nick Reiner's lawyer stepped down. Alan Jackson will no longer represent him. Well, Reiner, of course, is accused of killing both of his parents. It's a horrible case, but they never said why.
I know why.
Do you know why?
Yeah,
because the money.
They're going to pay him. Exactly.
You think that's right?
I guarantee it. There's no way. Because he was given a public defender. No,
yeah, that's exactly right.
Someone else is going to swoop in if there's money on the line. I promise you that.
Okay, that's a good point. And his arraignment is now set for February 23rd. It never ceases to amaze me how this stuff gets put off and put off.
Well, okay. I made that point earlier. Like, even with Maduro, the next time he's in court is March 17th.
March 17th?
Yes.
That's so late.
I know.
All right.
Don't go to jail. See, yeah, that's okay. My advice.
Let me write that down. People online are listing jobs that pay extremely well, but people don't realize it. And since we were talking about manual labor yesterday, I thought, okay, now, not all of these are an easy pivot, but... Number one, septic tank installation and repair. Something you don't think about. Fred is not signing up for that.
I did that when I was younger, Sue.
Did you?
No, are you kidding me?
Of course not.
That sounds disgusting.
They say that you can get really well paid there. Number two, nuclear station security guards. Anything nuclear, they have to pay a lot.
Fair enough.
Lighting design and director for private events and broadcast sports. Now, we might be able to do that. Sort of. Maybe not. Surveying, not questionnaires, land surveying, that's needed. So if you went and got some expertise in that.
Let's talk about that real quick.
Okay.
I'd shoot myself in the head. How boring is that to have like this tripod thing where you're looking through and then you go look at the other guy about 200 yards away?
Big money.
Oh, my God.
Elevator.
No offense to the surveyors out there.
Okay. Elevator technician, casino dealer, tennis coach, fiber optics cable splicing. What? Certified wastewater treatment operator, electric pole climber, aircraft mechanic. Somebody said, if you got soft skills, get an accounting degree. There are so many opportunities if you can understand the financial intricacies of a business and communicate effectively.
Right.
None of us can do that.
And piggybacking off of what we said yesterday, one of the reasons you said you brought this up is because there was a story in the Wall Street Journal about a guy making $160,000 at a dealership fixing cars in Ohio, and they cannot find enough mechanics across the country.
Correct. And somebody else had said the guy with the most money is the retired plumber on your street. So yeah. Plumbing, electrical, all of that
I
stuff.
I believe it.
So I can't believe casino dealer...
Was up
well
there?
Paid.
Yeah, I can't believe that either.
They would get tipped, probably.
Oh,
because of tips.
Okay, that didn't occur to me. So if you are thinking about something, that there's a lot in the trades and then all of that.
By the way, the casino folks are going to really score big with this no tax on tips.
I didn't think about
Fred,
that.
If you're in Vegas at a high roller table, they're flipping $100 to dealers all the time if they win hands.
And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. In the 1920s and 30s, people used to have cages built to hang out of their apartment windows, and they'd put their babies in them. They believed it helped them keep healthy and growing to get some air outside. Say nothing of a cage hanging outside your window.
Okay, that's a little weird. But
it is weird.
Many of the random facts are. Sue, thank you very much. Jen Say, after the break.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Well, I probably can't admit this to the other guests, but when I'm power ranking the guests, you know, for the lineup, Jen Say is always at the top of the list, and she's with us this afternoon, the founder and CEO of XXXY Athletics, to talk about some gender-affirming care nonsense and the like, which we often do. Jen, Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year to you. Thanks for having me again.
I have to tell you just a quick story because I have, as you know, I'm a fan of the gear. And one of my favorite T-shirts is the gray T-shirt with the blue and the red logo on it. And I wear it all the time. And about 4 weeks ago, it went missing. And I'm like, where the heck is it? And I thought maybe it was in my hunting clothes because I went hunting. And then I thought it was mixed up in my wife's clothes. So a few days ago, I said something about it. I'm like, back to my wife. I'm like, I still cannot find it. And I was really, when I get frustrated like this, I can't get off it, right? My little angelic 10-and-a-half-year-old daughter comes out of the room and says, oh, is it this one that you're looking for? Yeah, I took that from you on purpose. And she was just trying to hide it from me. That devious little kid taking my XXXY gear, Jen Say. I don't even know how to react to that.
well, you need to get more so everyone in the family can have one.
Well, you know what's funny about that is this is so true. Like, I'm the type of person, if I have something like that in my wardrobe and I do lose it, like if I leave it at a hotel, I order again. So it's not too far off the truth. All right, I was trying to explain this story to Sue and to the audience in the last hour, and I don't want to be too gross about it, but the fact of the matter is we have a video that went viral here a couple of days ago at Planet Fitness. I can't remember the location, where there is a man who is in a stall who is pleasuring himself, and you have this on video from the perspective that you see the shadow from the stall, right?
Yes. You can, yes. I'm trying to think of words I can say.
I know.
To
I
you.
Get it. I get it.
Yeah. He was doing something that you shouldn't do in a public place in the women's room or the men's room. I mean, let's
well,
be
true.
Honest.
Yep.
You really want that in the men's room. But anyway, this is a man who claimed to be a woman who was in the stall doing his thing, and a young girl, young woman, teenager, called him out, and the whole thing was filmed, and he came out of the stall and was indignant, basically saying, I'm allowed to be here. What are you doing? You're basically, like, interfering with my time, with myself.
Well, and tried to deny his activity in the stall, which was going on for 20 minutes, and there's no doubt what was happening. I mean, that's indisputable.
Yeah. I think the whole thing is an encapsulation of the issue to some extent, and women needing their private spaces. Women need private spaces. We need spaces where we can be without men so that we can feel safe. That's not to say that all men are predators, but the idea that a male predator wouldn't take advantage of the idea of self-ID, which is the law in places like California, if you say you're a woman, you are, that he wouldn't take advantage of that to gain access to women is ludicrous. That's exactly what these men are doing, and that's what this guy was doing. That's what men who self-ID to get into women's prisons
exactly.
are doing.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling has highlighted that a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. There was actually a great story yesterday published in The Hill about this, which I was kind of amazed in the Hill that they published it. So I highly recommend folks check that out. It's on my X feed. That just is blatantly, you know, men taking advantage of self-ID, the state going along, and then putting these predators. These are men who are in prison for sex crimes, being placed in cells with women and then raping them. The whole law, and, you know, the pushback on the left who defends it, they would say, like, well, those people aren't true trans. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm not the one that should have to decipher who legitimately thinks he's a woman and who's just claiming it so that he can get into the women's bathroom. Just no. Just keep the men out of our spaces. So, and I don't know what happened in this case with Planet Fitness, but Planet Fitness in the past has proven themselves to take the side of the men claiming to be women and to banish women who complain. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I don't know why it's always Planet Fitness. We had a situation here out in the Chesterfield area, West St. Louis County, where the same thing. And it was clearly a man who was trying to poke the bear. There was no doubt about it. He was trying to get attention, and he got attention. And luckily, I think they got him booted out of there. But it seems to be always Planet Fitness. All right, we are on the cusp of some pretty important cases going before the Supreme Court on some of these gender issues, correct? Does that
yes.
kick off next week?
Yes. Opening oral arguments start on January 13th at 10 a.m. at the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. There will be a rally on the steps of the Supreme Court. Many, many speakers. I will be one of them. These cases are monumental. This is a very important moment for the protection of women's rights. It's two cases being heard at the same time. Both of the states, one is Idaho and one is West Virginia, have laws on the books that protect women's sports. And in both instances, there are men in those states challenging the laws. So the reason this is so important is 27 states currently have laws on the books that protect women's sports. If we want those laws to remain on the books, we need to win these cases. Now, what will not happen if we win these cases is that the other 23 states that allow males to compete in women's sports, they'll still be allowed to do that. Right. This is the precedent that will be set, that the states can decide, and, you know, not that the states who currently bar males from women's sports, they won't be no one will be required or banned from doing anything. They can do what they want. But it's momentous. I mean, if we lose, it's really, really, really sets us back. We really, really go backwards, because if we lose, it becomes the law of the land. that males will compete in women's sports everywhere and that states can't prevent it. So it's incredibly momentous. I think that we will win.
Yeah.
But again, even if we do, it's not solved in 23 states. And so I think, you know, my point that we have to continue to change the cultural conversation, that persists.
I think that, let me ask you this along those lines. So we've had, and I always point to, and I think if I'm not mistaken, it was 3 years ago this month that Jamie Reed came out with her piece. Was it 3 or 4 years, you know, right here in St. Louis, in the Free Press,
right,
about the situation at Children's Hospital in WashU. I always kind of call that a defining moment in all of this because it gained a lot of attention. So as we start 2026, I think you would agree that we've had a lot of victories here in the last couple of years in particular on this front. But these cases, to your point, these cases really are important. I think the makeup of the court certainly favors a decision in our favor, but it will be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important in terms of setting precedent. That said, I still think we need federal legislation. I think we need state legislation. And I think we need to change the cultural conversation. The culture is starting to shift. It is. There have been a few, I think, great examples in the last, 6 to 8 weeks. We had the op-ed by a professional women's soccer player saying women's soccer needs to be for women only. But just remember the backlash and the pushback she got. Her entire team did a press conference calling her a bigot. So that kind of discourages other women from doing the same thing. But then we had Sabalenka, the number one tennis player in the world in the women's category, recently said to Piers Morgan that she doesn't think it's fair for males to compete in women's sports. This was in advance of her Battle of the Sexes match, which she lost, not surprisingly, to a man ranked 671st in the world. But she said it. She said, I don't think it's fair. And then Sophie Cunningham, the WNBA player, recently said,
she is a Mizzou player, by the way, University of Missouri.
Oh, she was. Yeah. I didn't know that. She recently said that a really, really strong eighth grade boys team would beat a WNBA team.
Yeah. I remember when she said that a few weeks ago. And those are the things that we've been saying for a long time. Well, listen, thanks for getting on here. I hope all is well.
Yeah.
Let's look at these Supreme Court cases. Happy New Year, Jen Say.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
I really want to get Chris Clem's opinion. He is a former Yuma Sector Border Patrol chief who has served as a special advisor to RFK Jr. at HHS. He is back doing stuff. I was disappointed because Chris invited me late last year to go down to the border and do a tour, and I just couldn't put it together. Unfortunately, I was very disappointed, but he's going to have some things to say about what happened in Minneapolis yesterday. Brian Ping in the next hour, too. St. Louis native. He is an anchor and reporter for KNX Radio in Los Angeles. It's been a year since the Palisades fire and all the rest of the disaster out there, so he's going to give us an update at 5:30, plus an audio cut of the day. Another reminder, we have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow, as we always do. Jane's going to be here on the panel. Also, Greg Keller on my side. He'll bring his hair, which we always appreciate. And then, who am I missing here? Steve Butts, State Representative Steve Butts. Now, I will say this, that the roundtable will start in a most unique way tomorrow, and that's with Catherine Hanaway, the Attorney General, making an announcement that she wants to make. I don't think it's an indictment of anyone on the panel,
no,
but we'll see what happens tomorrow at 3. Here's a guy that I haven't talked to in a long time, and I used to talk to him quite a bit. Greg Damon, who is the GM at Sparks Tire and Auto in St. Charles. He's the Camwex Auto guy, and I was on that station for about 16 years. Greg, how are you?
Mark, nice to talk to you.
I see your stuff on social media. I miss you. We used to talk on a regular basis, but we thought of you because there is this pending legislation on getting rid of these safety inspections in Missouri, and I know you have some strong opinions on that, don't you?
Well, absolutely, and I got to tell you, Mark, it's the middle of Missouri has been trying to get rid of the safety inspections for many, many years, but January 1st, a lot of new laws get enacted throughout the country, throughout the state. There was a big report going on that they have eliminated the safety inspection on January 1st required for all cars to renew your license plates. Well, I'm here to report that that is absolutely false. It's inaccurate. Actually, from the Department of Revenue website, they say that that they are issuing an advisory to correct the inaccurate information being circulated through a lot of media outlets that is most likely generated from artificial intelligence regarding changes to the vehicle registration requirements. So here at Sparks Tire and Auto, we're still doing safety inspections like we're supposed to. A lot of other mechanic shops and everything else throughout the state are still doing business as usual. This has been largely reported wrong. throughout the state. And I will tell you, Mark, that if they would withdraw the safety inspection requirements for vehicles, it would be very bad for the state of Missouri and for the people that drive on the highways.
Okay, so why do you say that? Because I am not a favorite of these things, and I'm really not a favorite of the emissions test. But despite the fact that the information has been false, there was a story yesterday by Kurt Erickson in the Post that said that lawmakers are trying to pass legislation and maybe fast-track getting rid of the safety requirements. But why would you need – I'm just going to ask, Greg, why would you need a safety check on a car that is less than 10 years old?
Okay, well, Mark, I'll tell you this. If you have 10, so the law states if you have 10 years old, you do not need a safety inspection, 10 years or less than 150,000 miles.
Okay, all right, well, that seems...
Less than 10 years or less than 150,000 miles. But I will tell you this, that I personally think it should be back every 2 years that every car should be inspected. Because we're seeing cars that have two or three or four years old that may have 100,000 miles on it. And if you don't have anything done to it, or may have issues you don't know about, it could be detrimental to you driving on the road or detrimental to somebody else that you're driving next to. If you have, an accident or something break on the car or the thing else. I'll tell you this, a mutual friend of ours, Kevin Wheeler, was in today. He's got 45,000 miles on his car, and his tires are completely bald on it. So, he had no idea that they were that far down.
Right, but that's not always going to be something that's going to be related to a safety inspection. That's just somebody that needs to kind of pay attention to their tires. Kevin would seemingly be smart enough to do that. I got new tires recently because I knew that they were kind of going bald.
Well,
but that's the type of thing you're saying is flagged on a safety inspection.
Sure, absolutely. We look at the tires. We look at the suspension, the steering systems, make sure there's no fuel leaks. We make sure the glass is right, all the lights work, the wipers work. I mean, even think about wipers. People don't think about their wipers until it's raining, and they go, oh, my gosh, my wipers are bad, and they forget about it when it stops raining. So, there's a lot of stuff. How many cars do you see that are driving that one of the lights is out or headlights out or you see that orange dot at nighttime in their dashboard, the check engine lights on.
Right.
So a lot of that stuff. Even if they did, I will tell you this though, Mark, even if they did away with the safety inspection, you will still have to have an emission inspection done on your car.
All right, hang on one second because you're breaking up on me, and I want to hear what you have to say. We'll see if the signal clears up just a little bit here because you were sounding great, Greg, and all of a sudden you kind of started sounding phasey. Can you hear me okay? I don't think I can hear him. I think we lost him there.
Mark?
Yeah, okay. Are you there? Let's try one more time.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Okay, all right.
Sorry about that.
Let me back up before we get to emissions, okay? So don't you think that for the most part, the people who aren't fixing the crap on their cars, they're not getting their tags anyway and their safety inspection? And I don't know. This seems very nanny state to me. It really does.
I wish that people could come into to my work and spend a week with us and see the kind of stuff that we see on cars where things are bad or defective. Sometimes people try to do their own repairs and it's not correct. It's really kind of scary. I mean, to see some of the stuff that we have. We actually failed a car today because the brake pad was coming apart from the backing plate of the brake pad. Was actually pulled away from it and parts of the brake pad were missing. And customer had no idea that that was going on. And something like that, he could be in a panic braking and all of a sudden the rest of the brake pad break off and now his braking doesn't work as well.
Okay. Well, so, I will take all that under advisement. I don't like it. I hope they get rid of it. But on emissions, that really pisses me off. Why would we need to do this at this point? There's no reason, especially for newer cars. No reason at all.
Well, I think the cars that are made today in their computer systems and stuff like that are really good. That check engine light comes on if you have an emission related thing, and it could be anything from a misfire all the way down to an evaporative system not working or something like that. The cars are really good today, but the issue is even if they eliminated the safety inspection, like I said, you're still going to have the emission inspection. That's a federal law. It's a federal mandate, and we actually get federal dollars for that.
Well, let's hope that this administration can do something to get rid of that, because I think it's a complete waste of time. You want to do it for cars that are over 15 years old? Go for it. But this isn't solving anything. It's not making the air cleaner. It's not making anyone safer. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of, I think it's a waste of the shop's time, because you guys make, what, 10 bucks off of all those? So I wish it would go away. So you're saying, though, that that's not something the state can make go away because it's federal.
That is 100% correct. And I will say, you know, you look at a safety inspection, we get paid $12 for that. I have to pay $1.50 for that sticker, and the guy takes about an hour to do it. So, you know, it's not a moneymaker for the shops.
That's why I thought you guys wouldn't want to do that stuff. I mean, you're offering a perspective that I was rather unprepared for, honestly, because I'm not for these things. Now, I hear what you're saying. I do, and I understand that. But, you know, if we can get to a situation where it's over 150,000 miles or something like that, I guess I would go for it. And, Greg, don't get me wrong. I get your points, and you're the expert here that's looking at these cars every day. But I think government can only do so much when it comes to keeping us safe and forcing us to do things.
Well, you know, the things that I've seen with people is, if somebody's not going to fix their car, they're not going to fix their car unless they absolutely 100% have to. And that's the issue that I see, that, you know, instead of having a breakdown on the side of the road, instead of having a car wreck or something like that, most people may go to a quick oil change place where they don't even check the rest of the car out and see if there's anything bad. To me, it really hits home with me, because the stuff that we see and the potential that the potential things that could happen. I mean, I can't tell you how many tires I've seen that have cords showing or have big knots on them or
I believe that. I always point this out, because I can almost guarantee, when you see people spinning out, when we had that snowstorm a couple of months ago,
sure,
they're rear wheel drive, they have no tires. And yeah, and you know, like when I was, my mechanic that I'm seeing right now, Spieler Automotive, they're in High Ridge. Josh told me, like, and I unfortunately have had a lot of car issues, but he says he's really anal on tires in particular. And you can tell, can tell, I got four new tires 2 months ago. There's a difference in the way that the car grips and grabs. You can absolutely feel a difference. And if you're driving and you feel your car slipping, even a little bit of rain, that's your signal. You should do something about it, I think.
Well, absolutely. But, you know, how many times do you go around and look at the car tires on your car? We'll just say with tires. But, you know, it's the same with headlights. It's the same with everything else. Tires wear so gradually, you kind of get used to how it drives.
Yes. No, I get
it.
I understand that completely. Listen, I'm out of time. Greg Damon, great to hook up with you. I appreciate your perspective.
Thank you so much for having me on, Mark.
Yep, take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.